League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
We're rolling on with one in the books, two to go. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on the show. And Barry, you want to...
Well, yeah, you were correct. It was Bullock and then Novak. For some reason, I thought Shane Graham was before Novak and sandwiched in between Bullock and Novak. That's not the case. It was
they drafted.
It was
the
Rackers
lunch wagon,
yeah.
Right out of A&M.
The history of kickers: Chris Brown, Neil Rackers, Shane Graham, Randy Bullock, yeah. Nick Novak. There you go. That's the order. So I screwed that up.
It was instead of kickball get check with Randy Bullock. It was kickball get meal.
Yeah,
he was signed. He was signed by the Steelers and Giants. I think he replaced the Giants when they were going through the whole Josh Brown fiasco for at least a week. Steelers then signed him a couple weeks ago. And then I want to say the Bengals were looking at him, too. So he's got some money this year.
Fun fact, when he was the kicker, Randy Bullock, for the Texans, they used to have like purple Gatorade, green Gatorade, red Gatorade, and then they had a fourth with just gravy. All right, maybe not.
The look on your
face.
I was really anticipating.
I know.
Because I kind of knew that this was not going to lead to a serious end-all, be-all.
Both of your faces were priceless. I hope there were people driving around going, oh.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say
something. Did he have his own flavor?
Yeah, like some food color.
It was gravy.
I thought he was going to end up with, like, the dietitian for the Texans realized there was a spike in carbs and fat intake. I don't know.
Everyone else is out there with cups. He's out there with a ladle. All right.
Clarence, my man, the regular, joining the show, wants to talk about Nick Novak. What's up, Clarence?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Clarence?
I agree with Barry. There's a lot of games that the Texans could have lost without Nick Novak. And not just Nick Novak, but all teams around the NFL with kickers. And my thing with the media, and especially some ESPN or Fox Sports people, they don't appreciate kickers until they help them win their team's games, i.e. Skip Bayless and the Dallas Cowboys. He's bad-mouthed kickers all through the season until they help them win a game. And can you imagine how many Super Bowls could have been lost because the kicker wasn't there?
Go see the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills. We're looking at
college. Go talk to Travis Johnson's Florida State Seminoles. Florida State lost several national championships because they couldn't get one between the uprights.
Yeah, Patriots probably wouldn't even made it to as many Super Bowls without the kicker they had.
Yeah, Vinatieri.
Well, a couple weeks ago, he missed a couple of long field goals against the Jags only to hit the game winner.
Who's that?
Novak.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, They can matter. I don't want to give them too much credit because they can miss as many as they
can. I mean, not too much credit, but...
No, overall, kickers in general. But on this team, Nick Novak, yeah, he's my MVP.
In the commercial break, you were saying that he should be right there behind...
Oh, don't start that.
Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott.
Don't start that. No, sir.
Oh.
I'm not saying that. I mean, Dak Prescott, you know, but...
Yeah.
I think he could be the MVP of the team because, you know, I mean, this man is... If anybody has felt a hurt back or had a sciatica before, you know how painful that is to the back and to the leg. And for him to be playing through that, getting all those shots, I mean, that's good, especially because he's using his back and a little part of his leg the entire game, making kickoffs, making field goals. So that's why I think, he probably is the team's MVP right now, along with Lamar Miller.
Thanks for having my back, Clarence.
Clarence, that means we got it right. There's nothing wrong with when we get it right. That means you're tuning into the right station. We're giving you the info you need. And you know what I throw into that?
You know, it's scary to go out on that limb on air in this city and say that you think that the Texans field goal kicker is their team MVP right now. Because I just knew I was going to catch a lot of hate.
No, but I wasn't changing my story. Intelligent fans, when you stop and think about it, I mean, initially people might go, come on, a kicker. But when they think about it and they really weigh all of the pros and cons, they see it that it's legit. I'll tell you what, Leckler should get some special consideration too, not for winning the most valuable player. Leckler's huge in terms of when a team's struggling on offense, being able to at least change field position, stick them back in their own territory a little bit. Hard to believe that guy's been kicking for nice career, 19 years as a punter.
It's crazy, man.
Woo! That's good money.
Yeah. And Anthony Munoz on Twitter said that he said, and I don't know if this is true, but he said, doesn't Novak have the highest percentage of onside kicks? That I don't know.
I don't know if it's all time. He was four of eight before. I think he tried one that finally failed recently, but he was four of eight by midseason in his career with the Texans on onside kicks. That's pretty impressive. Or maybe it's his career all time.
Mm.
So that's pretty good too. So yeah. And by the way, can I throw this out? You guys watch the Monday Night Football game? I know no one watched because it was terrible.
Yeah, I went to open mic instead, so okay. I don't.
I need to tell you guys that the two best red flags ever thrown in the history of the NFL happened last night, and because of them, I think Jay Gruden should be Coach of the Year in the NFL.
Oh?
Yep. I went into last night's game tied in the final four of my fantasy football league.
Well, here we go.
I only had DeSean Jackson. He had, and it's a PPR league, he had Crowder, receiver for the Skins, and he had Olsen, the tight end, for the Panthers. All night I'm playing from behind because I'm going two against one. And all of a sudden, the two plays where, from naked eye, it looks like DeSean Jackson, one, I think it was early in the second half, one late in the second half. I'm like, I'm just going to watch my fate as it, you know, unwinds in the last couple minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Twice, Gruden throws the red flag post-incomplete ruling. Twice, they are both ruled catches. And I come from 5 points down to win by three, not without a little angst either, because with 49 seconds left, I'm like, okay, so the Redskins have the ball, and I know they still are going to try, and even though they're two scores down, they're going to sling it around. Just throw it to Jackson. I'm going, don't throw it to Crowder. Don't throw it to Crowder. And all of a sudden, Crowder catches it, and he starts prevent defense, run around. I go, oh, God, if he gets like 20 yards, at best for me, I'm tied. And he fumbled. And I'm like, Carolina better pick that thing up. Carolina picked it up. He lost the points he gained on the play. And I'm in the Super Bowl now, so I'm very pleased. There you have it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Nick, you're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, for the ESPN League. I am in the championship game.
I was the best team in my money league in the regular season. Got a first round bye and just ate it in my round. Yeah. Just ate it. I think my team scored like 64 points. My opponent scored like 112 or something. It wasn't even close.
And I don't
By the way, Nick Novak 1-for-3 on onside kicks this year.
Okay, and I think 4-for-8 or 4-for-9 now, I think, in his career. But I don't know if they keep that stat. The other thing from that game, if you look at it, and it really took people, I think, on Twitter and otherwise, there was a play on the sidelines. I think it was one of the Jackson plays. And the defender goes way deep out of bounds, completely de-cleats a cheerleader, and she goes face first, forehead down on a cold playing surface. And I had to look at the replay, and everybody's looking at, well, was he in bounds or not? I'm looking at the cheerleader going down going, does she have a concussion? And they finally show her, and then they show the play, and someone on Twitter did the split screen and was like, she is okay. But it was like, thank God she had pom-poms in her hand, and I think her forehead actually hit her hands rather than the turf because she went down like a house of fire.
I would have loved to see that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think you probably find it online. But, I mean, she went down, like, in 1 second, and it was ridiculous.
That's
so,
my favorites when you see somebody get taken out on the sidelines. Because you know that they're just, like, watching and don't see it coming until it's too late. And then
actually happened to me when I was a camera guy at the Cougs.
Yeah.
And I literally felt it for 2 days. It was painful.
I'm trying to think. In one of the games I was watching
this weekend. Did you scream?
Huh? But they didn't catch it. It wasn't like, you know, like on any reel or anything like that, but it was like I felt.
Like in this case, the player actually, did the player, anybody ask if you were okay? Because in this case, of course, with the cheer, the players were asking if the
no, he
she
didn't.
Was okay.
No.
But like, I was watching one of the NFL games this weekend, and a running back went right over by the head coach and annihilates one of the assistant coaches. The headset's off. He goes head over heels. And everybody's just kind of standing there looking like, and the running back was like, man, he's not on my team. Turns around and goes back to the huddle. But you can get, you can take some pretty severe shots on the sidelines.
You got to wonder. I mean, there's so much adrenaline going through them that I don't get mad if, I wouldn't get mad if they don't apologize, you know?
Did you scream though?
No.
I don't lie. Did you let out a little, ah!
Oh, you cussed.
I might have.
Like, you know,
I don't know.
Now, I would have cussed, but I probably also would have given you at least a good, ah!
The worst ones is you don't, like, is the ones that you don't see coming.
Yeah, I know.
But what they say is that because you didn't see it coming, you were relaxed enough that you avoid a lot more serious injury. They say when you see it coming, you tense up, and then you get more damage done when the impact
happens. That's true, because believe it or not, the imp, like where he hit me on my side, didn't hurt as much as my shoulder that I actually landed on the floor. You know, so
yeah.
it might be some truth to that. But yeah,
by the way,
pretty embarrassing.
There's another sideline episode that we'll get to in a minute, but that one's a little bit more interesting, where instead of taking out camera people and cheerleaders, we're just lucky that security didn't take it out over the cheerleaders on the sideline. Before we get to that, though, I want to tell you guys about Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It's an important program, especially during the holidays, but all season long. And it's for you, the people of Houston. And what you do is you do a good deed, and it makes a difference in the lives of children trying to get an education in the Houston community. It's a perfect chance to get a second chance for a kid that may not have done all the right things with his first opportunity. And all you got to do is look around. Garage, storage unit, maybe in your driveway, a field out back. Maybe it's a car, a truck, a motor vehicle of any kind, a boat, an RV, a motorcycle. If it's running or not, it doesn't matter. All you do is pick up the phone, call 713-225-4226, or for those of us that would rather do things on the internet, HoustonCarsForKids.com. You just let them know you got something to be picked up. They do all the rest. They fill out the paperwork. They come and get it. They tow it away. They make sure that they give you a tax deduction that's probably going to be at the same price or more than you would have gotten had you sold it outright. And you also get the good feeling in your heart that during this holiday season, you made a difference for the children in the city of Houston, because those donations are then turned into proceeds that can be used for bus passes, hot meals, glasses if they need eyeglasses, books, anything to help a kid continue to get an education and make something of their lives in Houston, Texas. It's a phenomenal program. It only works if you take part. So Houston Cans Cars for Kids program, please tell them that Joel at ESPN 97.5 told you to be a part of the program and told you to call. But at the same time, you will feel so good if you make this donation and know you're making a difference. 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
Yeah, yeah. ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till four bells. Blowing through another show with a lot of good content. Trying to catch up in the break on tweets, texts, and calls. If you want to be a part of the show, 713-780-ESPN. We've got a few of you that have joined the show to be a part of the show and then disappeared before we could bring you on to the show. So don't get stage fright. I know that the boss will check and see who you're calling, but tell them it's all worthwhile and that we'll take it if you make it. So make a call or text us to that same number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at Barry is Funny, at No Hit Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K.
So Andre on the text lines.
Okay.
So how about Antonio Smith for MVP? Stop it.
You know where that came from, right?
No.
Oh, yeah. That came from our man Trap yesterday, who said that the transformation of Jadeveon Clowney has been because he has the locker next to Antonio Smith, and that the veteran leadership provided while still putting the pads on has made a huge difference for him. So that was that came up yesterday. And then
okay.
We did have a few people say, but Antonio Smith wasn't signed till like the midway point in the season. So it went back and forth, but that's where that came
from. Is that okay? Because I thought that was just like a straight up call for Antonio Smith to be MVP.
No, basically MVP for kind of keeping Clowney straight and narrow to the point where he's performing.
Makes sense now.
Any other texts worth?
Somebody texted us that I think Brock had lost the locker room when Savage got in for the first series. They ran back-to-back run plays that were the longest runs of the game. I don't know that I would read too much into that. I did feel like that everyone played with a bit of a pep in their step.
Especially
the receiving core. But I don't know that you're not. It's not that you're not blocking any harder for Osweiler or Savage.
Here's
or one
why I
or the
disagree
other.
With that. When Osweiler was on the sidelines after the change had been made, Grimes and other guys came over immediately to console him, to slap him on the pad, slap him on the back, and say, hey, "Man, it's all right, it's cool, and you know you're good." You know, like, because he is a good dude. Everything that I've heard, Nick, you've been in the locker room more than any of us. I've heard he's a really, really good guy. It's just been, you know, a situation that just hasn't worked out.
In regards to D-Hop, right?
No, in terms of Brock Osweiler.
Oh, Brock, yeah. Brock is a super nice guy. I think he was, even in that loss, you saw him going around encouraging people with the knowledge that he's probably going to be set the next week. I mean, he may have, I don't know if he knew that he was going to get benched for the coming game, but yeah, he's definitely a positive dude. You mentioned in yesterday's show that when he was benched and walking to the bench, all the players were encouraging him, hitting him his shoulder and stuff like that. So the team likes him.
The one thing I saw that kind of made me crack up, I didn't notice it the first game because we were doing Christmas with my dad, so I was trying to watch that and have Christmas, but watching it this morning, at one point, I don't know if it was to start the second half or the last drive, or I don't remember what it was, but Savage is walking on the field. Brock's got his helmet on, and he looks like he was walking on the field. But then he kind of throws his hands up like, what? Am I really not going back in? Like, he just put his hands up in the air like he was had a question or something.
I didn't see that. But yeah.
It was pretty funny, and I don't know. You know, you'd have no idea. It's totally, reading into something that's probably right. Not there. But I just thought it was pretty funny that it looked like he thought he was going out there and then threw his hands up like, oh, I'm not going in? Me? Really? So, yeah.
He's been a big throw the hands in the air kind of guy this year.
Boy, he likes to throw them on his helmet when he throws a pick, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He's not going to make a tackle. He does it there. But a lot of times, even early in the season when you thought there's no way they're going to make a change, that wasn't even on the radar yet. When things would go wrong, like a fourth and one, and he immediately, palms in the air, hands in the air, looking at the sidelines, shaking his head like, what, you know, like it's got to be someone else's fault. So he's changed a lot. Yeah. By the way, we did you a favor yesterday, Barry.
Oh,
we took a call that we made sure you didn't have to deal with because it's one of your favorites.
Who?
Kurt Lowe.
Kurt Lowe, yeah, your man.
Oh.
Yeah, and he wanted to start with Texans, then get into Rockets.
Okay.
Okay.
How long did it last? I'll set the over-under at 12 minutes.
Under. Under. You know why?
Why?
Because he claimed to be a loyal listener to the show
and
was talking about others, and I said, so who's Falbo Brothers? And it went completely into the pregnant pause to the 3 second count, and you're finally. And I go, see, Kurt Lowe, if you want the platform and you want to claim to be a loyal listener, you need to know things about the show. Otherwise, we can't let you go, because he was just using it like his soapbox again. So we said he had to go. But I just sent you guys.
Cold.
Well, he did. He did try to get Joel to embrace the name Joel for like 60 seconds. Yeah, so that's probably why. Yep. He didn't get very far in the living room, right?
And I mentioned how much, like, yeah, no, because I actually brought it up, but I mentioned
he's not even in the building.
It.
He's not. He's in the outhouse.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I said that's where I put him. Yeah, yesterday I put him in the outhouse. Yeah. So I put him in the outhouse. I
loved it.
And then his nickname for my MVP is Westbrick, and I said of a man of the
Kurt Lowe can't be bothered with correct names.
Kurt Lowe is a devout Christian. And big time on, the do unto others and everything like that. And a lot of times on Sundays, he preaches a lot of verses from the Bible on Twitter. I said, so a man that follows and has the beliefs that you have is going to go and call another man Westbrick. Oh, I can't let it. Come on now. I can't let it get to that point. I got to be honest. I'm like, honest for the guy that has better stats than anybody in the league to this point.
I love how he called him Westbrick. Now, I didn't know. I've never heard him say that, so it was funny.
Okay, now
that is pretty funny.
Now I have since seen that he's on a soapbox again today with like potential Rockets trades and things, because the news coming last night, Clint Capella is suffering through a fracture in his leg, going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Looks like more like six, although he says he's going to try and be back sooner. So everybody's exploring now what are the Rockets going to do, because now first adversity of the year, and someone said, and the name came up, Nerlens Noel, that Philly should trade him. This from Kurt Lowe. 76ers fans wouldn't even look at Sam Decker for Noel. Shows you Rockets fans are delusional at times. LOL. And I said it to you guys and him and went back, wait, this coming from you? The man who has drank more Kool-Aid than can be produced in a year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And this guy's telling Rockets fans they're delusional.
Yeah, that is pretty funny coming from Kurt Lowe.
So we got to get to this Capella thing. Rockets, 10 in a row, looking for 11 tonight. Sexy style of play. Everything's lined up perfectly for them in the early season. But now, a bump in the road. Clint Capella out 6 weeks. No replacement in the near future, except for in your D-League from your second-round pick from Louisville. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. We'll get your thoughts on that.
And, Mr. Granny Shot himself, right?
Yep. Potty pitcher. Yep. Rick Barry style. Iwanuku is his last name. He's a big dude, but he's very raw, they say. And I don't mean from a comedy perspective.
It sounds like what they said about Capella.
Oh, I thought you were going to say somebody else.
No.
Hey, okay. I was looking online. Is he really 6'9 or 6'10?
He's a big kid. Yeah.
He's very wide. I thought he was taller for some reason.
No, but they think everybody is.
Capella's 6'10 too, so don't go hate
Dwight Howard.
That's what I meant Capella.
Dwight Howard was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no.
Capella's legitimately 6'11.
Where have you been? Do you listen to the show? I've been talking about how undersized he is all year, and that was going to be a detriment because they need rebounds. Well,
this coming from a guy who never listens to the show when I ask him if he heard me.
Who?
You. Every time I say, did you hear me? No.
Yeah, well, I don't.
Yeah. So, where do they go? What do they do? And by the way, Iwanuku is thick. He's muscular. Just very, very raw. Whereas Capella could probably get between a picket fence, but is 7 foot tall. So, pick your poison. See what you can do. There's some names out there. We can talk about that, too. And I don't know where El Jefe is. I haven't heard from him recently, but I know his Spurs are in town. So, you would think he's got a big eye on this game tonight. We'll talk about Rockets and a whole bunch more. ESPN 975.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 o'clock. We were just debating if the Rockets were to make a move, now that they are facing their first bump in the road, to survive this loss of Clint Capella 4 to 6 weeks. Is there a trade out there that you would make that makes them better and or fills the gap until Capella gets back? I tweeted last night that you could get Omer Asik back, who's a low post defender.
Boo!
Who has a big body. Would cost you Corey Brewer, KJ McDaniels.
Stop it.
You guys have been very critical of Corey Brewer.
They're not doing that trade. No way they want Corey Brewer and KJ McDaniels.
Oh, by the way, no way. They wanted KJ McDaniels. New Orleans is a big fan of KJ McDaniels.
No way they want Corey Brewer.
The Corey Brewer of Minnesota and early Rockets days, yes, but do they want him now? But you know what? Here's
no
the thing.
No one wants Corey Brewer.
Don't say that.
The Rockets don't want Corey Brewer. Like, I'm telling you.
The reason why I say don't say that,
because they might hear it.
The contract is friendly.
So if he's expires, still got 2 years left.
But, no, there's a team option in there. I'm going to look at it.
No, I think he's got 2 years left on his contract.
We're going to look that up. Because it was a three-year deal, and he's in year two of a three. But depending on where that contract is, it's a lot better than paying Omer Asik close to $11.5, $12 million a year for the next couple. We're going to look that up for you, because I think that's unloading one team's baggage for another team's and cutting your losses in terms of the amount of years left on it. They've been a big fan of KJ McDaniels. Brewer's a guy that obviously in a D'Antoni system doesn't fit like we thought he might, simply because he can't shoot. But
I see 3 year 23 for him. I don't know if there's an option, but I know I see 3 year 23 million for Corey Brewer.
And when did he sign it?
That's what I'm looking at. It looks like 2015, 2016 season is when he signed it.
So he's got 1 year after this, which then we have to look at from a salary perspective. If we look at Asik and we look at Corey Brewer, you know, how do you cut your losses? How do you make it easier?
Yeah, I don't think you're getting rid of Corey Brewer. My question would be, is do you do anything? Because I don't know that the Rockets have anyone that they would trade, because they're not trading Gordon, they're not trading Anderson, they're not trading Harden, obviously. They're not trading Capella.
They're not break. They don't want to break up anybody in the rotation.
The question is, would they trade a Sam Dekker? Because that's probably the only
piece.
There's
a guy that now has a lot of extra value.
That
right.
has value because no one else wants the rest of that roster.
At 1.7, getting up to team option, player options in the 3.9 in 19 in the year 2019-20. What can you get in return for Sam Dekker that is more valuable than what he's giving you off the bench? So Brewers got this year and one more, 7.6 this year, 7.59 next year. KJ McDaniels, 3.3 this year, and I want to say team option for next year. So basically KJ's free after this year. So from a New Orleans perspective, instead of going to Omer Asik, who will cost you, let's see, Omer Asik, this year is 9.9, right?
Mm-hmm.
The following year, it is 10.5, and the following year, 11.2, and then he has an option for 11.9. So you'd have to take him on, which Daryl does not want to do, for this and three more. Because where is Omer Asik going to get more than 11.9 3 years from now? So. Yeah. You'd be stuck with him. Now, he liked it here. He started here. He played good games here, but we know he's offensively challenged. He's free throw line challenged.
I don't think he's a fit for this team.
And he kind of quit on this team. And I was saying to Nick before the show, he doesn't fit D'Antoni's system simply from the standpoint of getting up and down the floor either. He's not a gazelle by any means. So the guy that I think would make more sense for about the same amount of money is Tyson Chandler. Tyson Chandler, a veteran, won a championship, great locker room guy, good defender in the low post, can score for you around the basket, not a lot, but just enough, and he can get up and down the floor. He's sitting there in Phoenix for about the same price. You could probably do KJ McDaniels, Corey Brewer, and if you had to, throw in some change and probably end up getting Tyson Chandler because Phoenix is going nowhere. That might be something that they might consider.
What do you think about the Sixers trading Okafor? You think
he's the guy that I would want. They're looking to move either Okafor or Noel.
Right.
And they realize that the process, as he's called, Joel Embiid, is talented as all get out. He's going to be really good. Okafor impressed me last year, really took a huge step back this year, and he's got all the tools, and he's not hurt. The knock on Noel ever since he's been in the league, and if you look at him in person, and Coach McHale, when we have him on this week, we'll get him to break it down for you too. His whole theory about when you look at his physique and his skeletal makeup, he has very, very small hips on a very, very skinny guy. If you're planning on him being a low post presence and putting weight on this guy, muscular wise and just weight, period, his skeleton and his hips and his lower body is going to have a real hard time taking on too much. Therefore, he's going to have more medical issues than he is success in trying to get bigger, stronger, and do more things low post-wise. So a lot of teams stay away from him because of that. Now, he came out with all kinds of hype. So interesting to see, you know, if that's someone that they would look at, because Philly is definitely shopping him. And again, the price would have to be right, but the price is lower.
And they'd have to match up. What does Philly need, right? Like, what holes do they need to fill, and do the Rockets have anything that they would want?
Because Sam is no longer there, you don't need all of Daryl Morey prodigies to be, you know, if Daryl's prodigy Sam was still in Philly, anybody that the Rockets had looked at, drafted, or had interest in, he would take.
Oh, I see.
But now that he's gone and Colangelo's in.
Because they're not going to want Dekker because they just got Simmons, right? So that's not somebody you probably put in that
trade.
But
he's going to play point. See, Sam Hinkie was Daryl's guy.
Ben Simmons is going to play point.
Ben Simmons, and a matter of fact, when he was on the court.
Forward?
He was on the
Small
court.
Forward?
He got cleared to be on the court a week ago. And Brent Brown, the former Spurs assistant, now the head coach of Philly, said, the first thing we did before he even touched a basketball and started shooting free throws was, I said, when you have the ball and you cross half court and you're here or there, where's your first look? Where's your option to get us in the offense? What are you doing? Because their plans are to make him a point guard.
Okay.
So if you're going to play him at point, you got a guy like Robert Covington, one of the Sam Hinkie guys that he got from the Rockets, at small forward. Does Sam Dekker make more sense?
Yeah.
Not that I want to see the Rockets get rid of my boy Sam, but...
So they need a point guard, right?
Who?
The Sixers.
They're
right
going to play Simmons
at point. But right now, they need a point guard because he's not running point
They've got Sergio Rodriguez who's doing an okay job at point guard right now.
So what do you think that they do a deal similar to this where you sit, they send Okafor to the Rockets, the Rockets maybe send them Tyler Ennis, Sam Decker, and like Nene or somebody like that for the center position, because you know you don't know what you're going to get, and they're sending obviously one of their centers over.
I don't.
Is that a deal you think that works for both sides?
But again, you
sound good.
But you're still weakening
salary wise
the
it
center
works.
Position.
It seems
overall.
Like the Rockets give up more in that particular trade.
You're taking away
a few role players though. But you get a bona fide center, and now you have depth at the position, and you're talking about needing you know low post defense in the playoffs.
So a lot
like,
easier
like
salary
a younger
to deal
Okafor
with.
Okafor for a longer term than a 1 year Nene who.
Okafor, 4'7", 4'9", and then 6'3", team option. So essentially he's yours for two more at a reasonable price. For that price at 4'7", and 4'9".
And literally what you're giving
you don't
up
have to give
Decker.
Up as much as you even said. I mean,
well, true. But I'm saying you'd have to sweeten the pot. It's got to start with Sam Decker.
Sure. So 4'7", 4'9", gets you, you would give.
A guy like Ennis has some upside.
Decker's only at 1'7", so you need, you're going to need more oomph.
Well, that's why I said Nene, because I think that contractually, numbers-wise, that makes it fit better.
But Nene's 2'8".
Yeah, and for 1 year, so they get to get rid of that money, too.
True.
That's why I'm throwing him
again,
in, plus he's a center. Gives
gotta,
him depth at the
figure,
position.
When he signed the 1 year.
I think that's a good trade.
When he officially can be traded, because there's a lot of clauses and contracts with that stuff.
True.
But Decker at 1'7", you know, they're trying to stockpile young talent. So you look at some of the guys that they might look at. McDaniel, again, a guy that is at 3-3-3, and he's gone at the end of the year if it doesn't work out. But a guy that came from Philly that was a fan favorite in Philly, if not for his mom, who kept telling the team when to play him. There's some guys out there that could make some sense. I wouldn't give up Nene just yet because I think he's one of the veteran, the only veterans you have on the team, let alone a veteran that is playing the low post for you when you're limited. I don't know that you give, another one.
In a trade that would get you Okafor?
Okafor hasn't proven to me that in clutch times and big situations,
that's 17
he can do
in the low block will sure be sweet.
I don't know if he can get 17 in that offense.
You don't think he'd run that pick and roll?
He's got to finish.
Son!
Got to finish, son.
I'd do it.
We'll see. There's lots of options out there. Let us know what you're thinking about the Rockets. Hey, Barry wants to tell you about the fact that the train is leaving the station between now and Christmas.
Yeah.
You're either on or you're off. We'll talk about that next. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN
97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 o'clock, almost 2 in the books, but not quite. We were talking about the Rockets before the break, and I try to be pretty accessible to Rockets fans during games and around that time. And when we were talking about potential people that could fill the void for the loss of Clint Capella, I had said and also went out with Chris, who's a good fan of the show, a legit name to consider, Larry Sanders. Larry Sanders, who was a high first-round pick of the Milwaukee Bucks, had some off-court issues for a little while, need to get his head on straight, but said he was going to sit out for a while and try and really do those kind of things and then consider a comeback. I know that he's a guy that the Rockets have paid attention to in the past, and I think that right now, because of your cap situation and because you really aren't that deep, but you do like the rotation that you have, those are the kind of guys that make a lot of sense. And Maya, of course, chimed in because she knows she's got her finger on the pulse of this team. She said she's concerned about professionalism, not his talents. Well, this coming from a team that signed Jace Move 2 years in a row. So I'm not real worried about that. This isn't the Texans, and we aren't on Kirby.
There was another last year guy that they signed that had
questionable character issues.
What was his name? The kid they got from overseas.
Michael Beasley.
Yeah, Beasley.
The Bees. And the Bees ended up being your second or third best player.
Yep.
And he's actually still playing well for Milwaukee.
Yeah, I was kind of at first. I was wondering why we picked him up, but then when I started seeing him play, I was like, "Wow, he's not that bad at all."
No, he turned out to be. And again, he's a guy that's never been short on talent. It's about keeping his head on straight. I mean, he went to Kansas State, and he and a guy by the name of Bill Walker were a dynamic duo in college, and both were like surefire can't miss first round picks. The problem is that both guys couldn't keep it together off the floor, and it just went south. Went more south for Walker than Beasley, but Beasley continues to get these looks. because of his talent.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out if he's finally matured. He's like the kid from here that has played with like 16 teams that's now with the Celtics, Gerald Green. Gerald Green can jump over the Transco Tower. I mean, he's got all the athletic ability in the world. It's just, can he keep his head on straight and can he play? His is more, can he play team ball and in a system? Because he likes to just free stroke, and no matter what the coaches tell him to do, when he gets that ball in his hands, like something takes over and says, I'm sorry, I'm shooting this bad boy. And that's the way it goes. But, you know, there are guys and there are teams that have their eye on guys and just know talent-wise, they're really interesting. And then it's just how much can you take and tolerate on the negative side in order to give your team what they need to try and help them on the positive side. It's something the Rockets are definitely weighing out, I guarantee you. And I know that they brought up Iwanuku just because they needed a short-term fix. They're playing San Antonio tonight, for God's sake.
Yeah. Shock is listening. And Shock, first of all, is a huge 76ers fan.
Is he really?
So he's screaming at me that he's like, Philly won't take Nene. They have seven centers already. I'm like, yeah, but they'll take that expiring contract. They'll take that single year,
now,
that
with
1 year left.
With Sam Hinkie,
free up the money, and they'll take that. And he said he sends back all caps on behalf of the Sixers organization and all of Liberty City Ballers nationwide. We do not want your Nene. And I have a feeling that, but that goes to my point. The Rockets don't have a lot of pieces that people
right.
desire.
It's like
that
people
they would
saying
give up.
That Boogie Cousins is going to get traded. You got to have enough to go get him.
Yeah.
And for one, to make Sacramento want to make the deal. And then for two, to still remain competitive around him. Because if you start losing, that's the first thing that lights the fuse of a ticking time bomb with Boogie Cousins. Now, from the Philly perspective, if Sam Hinkie was still there, he wanted three things. He wanted to suck for his own draft picks. Then he wanted nothing but draft picks and young players in return, and or to Barry's point, expiring contracts. Because until they were ready to really make a push to say that they're good, they were going to be as bad as possible and just stockpile ways to get better through the draft and saving money. This was a team that almost had to pay their players more just to make the minimum salary cap number a couple years ago. But when Hinkie exited stage left, Brian Colangelo, an experienced GM, comes in with his time in Phoenix and Toronto, I think the mentality changed at least a bit. Now, they're still very protective of Embiid. They still watch things like his minutes count and, you know, back-to-backs and things. But I think overall, they got it right with Embiid. I still think they got it right with Okafor. I think that he's having a sophomore slump, but I think he's just got too much talent, and he went to a good program at Duke. Noel's the guy that just kind of worries me a little bit, and I think Ben Simmons is the guy. Look, he was underwhelming in college, but I think he was playing not to get hurt. So, you know, he's got to show that he's got a jump shot, but in true fashion, if they're going to make him a point guard, Gary Payton and Jason Kidd say, you can come into the league with a 25-letter alphabet with no J in it, and you can develop one in the first couple of years. He's got everything else in terms of size, ball handling, athleticism. But then it's who's going to be your 2-3.
Yeah, the point I was making, though, is the Rockets don't have anything. I mean, we can sit here and talk possible trade scenarios, mm-hmm. but you can't talk about the most desirable names out there because they don't have the pieces to go
well,
and get
them. Well,
that's
what I'm saying. You look at a Larry Sanders. You've got to look at guys that are just dangling out there.
Or an Okafor because the Sixers have seven centers and would be willing to trade one. You don't want to go get a scrub, but, you know, if you can swing a deal and get a guy like that, then you add depth at that position. There's things you can do, especially with Capella hurt, but you got to keep that in mind over the next couple of weeks, Rocket fan. This team doesn't have a ton of tradable pieces. They've got a good core. They've got a good core for this team. But as far as making moves and making trades, it's I think it starts and ends with Sam Dekker, and then it's what?
Nah.
No one. What else? You're not
well,
trading
to your
Ariza.
Point, KJ,
not,
no KJ one, McDaniels, because he's young and he's expiring. So you see what you got. You kick the tires, and then he either goes away or you work out a favorable deal in the years to come, or because he can
see,
be.
See, I thought he still had 2 years left.
No, this is it for him.
KJ McDaniels?
I looked it up when we were doing trade scenarios.
Okay, because I almost swore he had 2 years left.
Yeah,
but okay.
If anything, it was a team option, which you can just kick to the curb.
So Harden, Anderson, and Ariza, those three are definitely off the
And
off
Gordon.
The
table. Because Harden starts at 26
Capella,
and a half.
Gordon. Right.
Anderson starts at 20, and Gordon's at 12 and a half. So those are numbers that, unless you want to trade Eric Gordon straight up for Tyson Chandler or Omer Oshkosh.
No,
you're not trading Ariza and Beverly because that's your defense. Your perimeter defense, which you need. I mean, literally, you're down to Corey Brewer, KJ McDaniels, Nene, Tyler Ennis, Sam Dekker, Montrezl Harrell might be a guy that some teams are interested in.
And the young kids that teams like that
I mean,
you got, Wilcher and Payton.
Yeah.
but they're making $500,000
a year. No one cares about
Wiltshire. You can't do anything with that. Yeah. Wiltshire can shoot. Peyton can jump, and he can play. And he's an athlete, and he's got an upside. But so you throw those two guys in a deal, and all you get out of it is $1 million. That's not enough. You got to come within 15%.
Yeah, and of all those names, there's no teams clamoring for that. Literally, the two best options that the Rockets have for trades starts with Sam Decker and ends with Montrezl Harrell.
By the way, as much as people around here hate the Spurs,
from a talent perspective,
I got a story for you guys coming back from break. Even though it's the Spurs, that at least will put a smile on your face and warm your heart a little bit. Pretty cool, and it happened right here in Houston today. We'll have that and more. ESPN 97.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.